Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell Reed, my co-host Gwyn Scheltemer, and our guest this week, Ellen Curry. So, Ellen, what made you decide to write the book Be Careful What You Think, Volume 1?
After my husband Brian made his transition, I felt I needed something productive to do. Time was heavy on my hands, and I had been dabbling with writing little bits here and there. And my friends keep saying to me, oh, you've had such an interesting life. You should write a book about it. So I decided, why not? I had nothing else better to do.
And why did you choose that title, Ellen?
I have come to believe that it is so terribly important to be very careful about what you think. What you think determines all of your actions, your reactions, your attitudes, your nerve endings, blood pressure, your complete self. Everything you do depends on what you think. And if you'll be careful what you think, your day goes so much better. It is so much easier to be positive rather than negative. Mm-hmm. If you're negative, you draw negativity to you. Positive, your day goes so much easier.
Tell us a little about your latest book, Be Careful What You Think, Volume 2. Is it a sequel to the first one?
It is, in a way. I had great success with Volume 1. I recovered all my expenses within 7 months, so that was very encouraging as a writer and self-published author to be able to do that. Mm. So I was encouraged to write number 2, and I had a couple of friends that had extremely interesting stories that I felt I wanted to add to my book. And so, in a way, it is a sequel, yes.
Mm-hmm. And now, are you going to read, well, is this piece School Holiday on the Mind from Volume 2 or Volume 1?
It's from Volume 2, and it takes place in Rhodesia.
Yes. So the books are not arranged in a chronological way.
Book 1, Volume 1, deals with when I first got married and starting life in Rhodesia, and then goes on to Canada and Arizona. So in a way, yes, it is.
And Volume 2, you go back to look at some of your childhood adventures?
Yes, I do. And this story is School Holidays Spent at the Mine.
Yes.
My Auntie Letty was my mother's cousin. She was a bit of a tomboy about. This was not the time or the place when tomboys were accepted in society. If you were female, it was expected that you looked and acted like a lady by wearing dresses and being dainty. Auntie Letty stood 6'3" in her stocking feet. She found men's clothing far more practical at the mine. She had a few dresses that she kept for wearing when going to the nearest town, which was Guelo. Being different was not a problem for her, because she was her own person, full of confidence and well able to take care of herself. She had married later in life. It took some time to find a man that was not intimidated her, but Uncle Andy was just such a man. Auntie Letty was 15 years younger than Uncle Andy and had better eyesight than he did. She was an excellent marksperson. And when they would go hunting, the two of them would stand in the back of the old pickup with their rifles resting on the hood of the cab. One of the servants would drive, and they would go bundu bashing, which is cross-country driving, not using roads. 9 out of 10 times, Auntie would get the target, and Uncle would get so mad he would yell, "Letty, at least let me see the damn thing before you shoot it." One evening when we were out hunting, we heard a couple of shots. Both Uncle and Auntie fired their rifles up in the air in rapid succession. We stopped the pickup and listened and didn't hear anything. So we drove in the direction of the shots, and there on the ground was a dead female ostrich. Now, ostriches were royal game and were protected. The poachers had made off when they heard our shots, and there was no way of tracking them. We all helped pick the bird up to put in the back of the pickup truck. When we did, we saw that she had 2 little chicks underneath her. We wrapped the chicks in old blankets. When we got home, Uncle found a box and put the chicken wire over the top, and Auntie cut some old clothes into strips. We threaded the strips through the wire so it would feel like its mother's feathers. This quietened the little chicks right down. And in the morning we fed them a very thin porridge made with lots of warm milk. They loved it, and I was given the task of feeding them every 2 hours. We named the female bird Ost and the male Rich, and within 2 days they were following us around like little dogs. The following year, summer holidays, one morning, one of the servants left a bar of Lyle soap near where he'd been doing the washing, and Rich swallowed the bar. It was about 2 inches thick and about 6 inches in length, and it stuck in his throat. We could see the soap in his neck, so we gave him lots and lots of water to try to make the bar smaller so that it would go down. But it took several days to disappear. In the meantime, every time he opened his beak, bubbles would come out of it, and he was most surprised and annoyed. He would shake his head backwards and forwards, trying to get rid of the bubbles. He just could not figure it out. Ost loved it. She'd try to catch the bubbles in her beak, and of course they would pop, and even though you could see she didn't like the taste of them, she kept trying. It was very entertaining.
That's a marvelous story. I think you must write a volume 3. Put some more of these experiences in that. Thanks, Ellen, for being part of our radio series. Where can people get hold of your books? Where can you buy them?
They're available at the Avid Reader on Division Street and also available from Amazon.
Oh, great. So, Ellen, do you belong to any writing groups?
Yes, I do, and I find them not only interesting, but very encouraging. I belong to a writing group called Spirit of the Hills, which I think you might be familiar with.
Yes, indeed.
We have a very nice breakfast at the Grafton Inn once a month, and then I also belong to the OLIP, which is a group that meet twice a month for breakfast. Again, we're always eating. And we usually meet at the Buttermilk Cafe. They have rather an interesting program. They write a progressive story. And so somebody starts the story and writes 150 words. They pass the story to a second person and they write 150 words. And it's passed on. So it is really good, interesting work for an author because you're given the atmosphere, you're given the storyline, you're given the characters, and you can add characters by all means, but you only have 150 words in order to do so before you can pass the story on to somebody else. So that's a really good writing challenge for us.
Yes.
And then we also write 150 words on a particular subject that somebody chooses. Uh-huh. And it has to be 150 words, not 149, not 151, which is an excellent for a writer.
Mm-hmm.
I like to write and then cut, 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 or as they say, edit, 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 edit.
That's very interesting. It must be a good group activity, then, that it is. Writing a continuous story like that would draw the group in together. And what they're making is something between them, as it were. Does it make the group seem closer?
Yes, it does. And it's a really good challenge as a writer because you're given everything predestined and then you have to fit your writing into to match that. Another group that I belong to is WCDR. I've belonged to them for a number of years and they only meet once a month over in Ajax, I believe it is. Mm. And this is a large group of people. I think there's something like 300 members, and they're very productive. There are many really good authors with them. So I thoroughly enjoy going to their breakfasts and listening to their speakers. And they have many workshops, which is always very interesting and worthwhile attending.
Yes, and they run the Ontario Writers Conference too, don't they?
That's correct. Yes, they do.
Yes. Thank you, Ellen.
You're so welcome.
To our listeners, if you would like to connect with us and send us a comment on the program you've heard, or ask us questions or make suggestions for someone else we might interview in future programs, send us an email to wordonthehills@gmail.com. And thanks again to our listeners for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week.